Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Next up, we're going to invite our very good friend, Duncan Hantam. He's part of the Catalyst family that we're part of. He oversees us as a church. He's just been a great friend to us over the years. I know he's got a great word for us today. But just before he comes on, I just want to ask, come in, Duncan. Just want to ask Duncan a few questions. And as a pastor, fellow pastor, and I just feel God asked me to do this last night and just share a little bit of heart together on the difficulties we've been through, probably the most difficult season that churches have been through since the war for pastors. And so just want to ask Duncan, you know, share a bit about what have your struggles been over this last season in lockdown, Duncan.
Thanks, mate. I'm on this mic. Is that right? Yeah. I think that one of the struggles that I've been through is just that a sense of like almost like the monotony of life. Do you know? Everything is the same all the time, and sometimes it's quite hard to be motivated, isn't it? And you just come out and you think, okay, I'm just going to go and do the same thing every day, and days blur into one another a little bit. But at the same time, I think I have held on to this fact that, like, even in difficult, in fact, probably more in difficult times, God shapes us. And when I look back in my life and I think, oh, some of the things that, you know, sometimes I found were the hardest times of all, actually, when I was probably 19, 20, I went through this horrendous year for all sorts of reasons, but it was a very difficult time. But it was actually the time I learnt most of all. And I think it's been very, very difficult, and I think we're going to have to struggle to really come back and meet together, because sometimes, if I'm really honest, it's quite easy just meeting on Zoom. Do you know what I mean? It's quite easy. Just you sit at home. You don't have to get in the car. You don't have to travel anywhere. You don't have to get on the bus. You just sit there. You rock up, turn your computer on, and bang, you're there. But, you know, we were never, never designed to be in isolation, and I think we're in isolation at the moment because we have to, and it's the responsible thing to do. But I think I'm going to have a few days of prayer and fasting to think, God, how can we come back together? Because we have to come back and meet together, because there are certain things that you cannot do on your own. And I think sometimes the enemy would, the devil would want to keep us isolated and on our own. And so I think that's just a bit of a battle. I think we've become more of a church of prayer than I ever thought we could have been because of lockdown, which has been absolutely brilliant. But it's like, God, you've changed us and shaped us so much. But we have to, just please, Lord, help us to come back together again. I hope it won't be that, I'm going on a bit, Clive, sorry. I hope we won't come back to the same church that we were in. I hope we're radically different, but we have to come back together again.
Come on.
Clive, can I bounce it back to you?
Yeah.
What has been the challenge for you?
Yeah. I think for me, I was watching a film the other night, and if you haven't seen it yet, I Still Believe it's called, and it's a great film. I was in tears a couple of times over it, and I don't mind admitting that. But right at the end, there was this kind of scene where this lady that was dying of cancer, the guy turned around and said, can you all put your hands on her and pray for her? And I had that moment when I remembered what that was like, to put hands on people and pray for them. And I think for me, the actual contact with people and being able to pray for them, as soon as we went into lockdown, we had to learn this whole new trade of filmmaking. Basically, that's what we've learned, to get up on Zoom and all this. And so instead of it being like it is for a lot of people, it's an easy, you've got less to do. We've had so much to do that I've missed a lot of old pastoring ways and it just causes a distance that you don't want. But at the same token, we've had that time to reposition ourselves as a church that is in the 21st century. Jesus went where the people are. Today, people are online. Now, both Trinity and the World Church are online. So for me, it's been a struggle, but it's really produced something, I think, of a future church, especially where we're working together. We're talking about working with other churches in Boreham Wood, seeing what's going to happen in Basildon and others. So, yeah, I'm excited about the future, but it has been quite a struggle in that not meeting people every week, not being able to pray for them in the same way. But praise God for the technology we have been able to meet. And so we could say more, but we want to hear from the Word of God. And just let's give Duncan a big World Church welcome as he brings God's Word. Well done.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on, come on. Come on.
That's enough.
Have you mentioned about Steve Tebb?
Yeah, go on.
Can I mention it? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not really supposed to be doing that. I'm not bigging myself up, but it's just great. I love being here. It's really good to be in the room with these people. And we just let you know, I've been talking with Clive, and we've really loved Steve Tebb coming and being in our midst. And, you know, he comes down to Trinity. He comes down to here. He comes to Trinity. He's been really good. And just over the last few weeks, we've been talking to Steve and say, Steve, you know, like, can we do it? Anyway, we just need to let you know that Steve is going to come on and work part-time for Trinity and the Well, which is just very, very exciting. Yeah. So that's really very good. And we're just going to do it so that he will be able to... He will lead, like, probably as he has been at the moment, lead worship once a month, you know, at the different churches. But just help us and encourage us. And he's given us some advice on worship. And it's just been really, really good. So, and Steve's heart is really to grow and to develop worship leaders. So all these lovely people that are in the... This in here is amazing. It's a great setup. It looks like this TV screen, TV studio in here. But they're doing all the worship through there. It's really exciting. But anyway, we love being here, and it's exciting about Steve. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn, please, to James chapter 3? And I'm going to read it this morning. I'm going to read in the NLT version of the Bible. And we've got some great fruity verses to read. So we're going to read... I wonder if we planned it out so that I had to come down here and preach these verses. But I preached these at Trinity last week, and it was great. It was very good. So here we go. James chapter 3. I hope you've enjoyed the series on James. We've really loved it. Clive was up with us at Trinity the other day. And if I'm honest, can I just very briefly, it always really annoys me when Clive comes to preach at Trinity. He's just got that way. Because they all prefer when Clive preaches than when I preach. But anyway,
well, they do the same with you.
Yeah, yeah. Right here. Anyway, it's great. We just love it so much. So here we go. James chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 12 to start with. And then we'll come to these other bits. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Yeah, nice verses, these ones, aren't they? People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and full of evil. Sorry, it is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring forth out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble up with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. there are advantages, you know, of preaching through books of the Bible, and you just have to go, you know, verse at a time. And because I don't think there'd be many people that would really want to come to church and just preach that, you know, thought, oh, this is a really nice passage to speak from. But there are advantages, aren't there, of preaching through a whole book of the Bible. And what it is saying is that we're going to talk today, there is a problem, and also these passages say, and there is a solution. So we're going to look at a problem and a solution. And the first thing is we're just going to look at the problem. And the problem is this, is that your tongue and my tongue, they are very hard to train. It's very hard for us to train how we speak. I don't know if anybody can wave, but has anybody ever, does anybody have a dog or ever had a dog?
Yeah, a few people
in the room, yeah. We have two dogs now, and to be honest, most of my life we've had dogs. Some dogs are a complete nightmare. They're just like a nightmare. And sometimes you see these dogs, you know, and it's like you throw a ball for them and you think, yeah, they're just going to go bounding off, get the ball and then come and drop it over your feet and you do it again. They go bounding, they find the ball and then they come and say, oh, yeah, here's the ball. And then just about to take it, they say, oh, no, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm just going to walk off there. Or sometimes dogs just disappear for hours on end. And then you're calling them and you're calling them and you're calling them and you think they've just gone. They've disappeared. And then finally they come trotting back and you're so angry that they finally come back. You just tell them off and you say, what are you doing? And then the dog is saying, well, if you're going to tell me off, I'm never going to come back again. And you think, well, it's impossible to train these dogs. And you think they're a nightmare.
You want a chihuahua.
Yeah. Sam says he wants a chihuahua. Yeah, they won't come back. But I think these verses are some of the biggest verses in the Bible where there is this disconnect. The disconnect with, yeah, this is what the Bible is saying, but actually what I'm going to do is something a little bit different. I don't know if you, I think we'd all sort of like, we read the verses, and say, yeah, they're in the Bible, so we will agree with them. We will think they're right. It is God's word. But, you know, if I've got a problem with somebody, I'm going to let them know. And it's one of the biggest places where we have this disconnect. And you know, you might be thinking, you might be texting somebody right now saying, oh great, do you know what, Duncan's speaking on this verse in James, I hope these people here are listening. And then somebody texts back, you say, yeah, because they really need to know, because they're always bitching about people. Yeah, I know, they really need to hear it, lol, you know. And you're thinking all the time, you're thinking, no, what you're doing is you're thinking it's all about somebody else, it's their problem. Well, I just need to let you know, nobody on this earth gets it right all the time. Yeah. Every single one of us has made mistakes and have spoken ill of people and have made mistakes. And you think, oh, it's... And these verses in James, they recognise it. They say, everybody has made mistakes. None of us are perfect. But we do need to be aware of the destruction that can come from some of the things that come out of our mouths. I've got another question for you. Hands up if you have ever been hurt by anything that anyone has ever said to you. Yep, yeah, we've got all hands up. Hands up if you have ever hurt somebody by something you've said. I put my hand up. I'm really, really happy to admit that I've been hurt when people have said something to me. Not quite so keen, be honest, to admit that actually I might have hurt other people. But this passage is saying here, listen, what we say and how we say it matters. Martin Luther famously wrote this thing. He said this. He said, we are saved by faith, and we're saved by faith alone, but that faith never stays alone. And what he's saying is that I'm saved because I put my trust in Jesus. And that is it. I just trust Jesus and I'm saved. But I never stay just like that. Jesus comes and shapes me and changes me.
Come on.
And I'm just thinking, Lord, please, please do not let me get older and older. And don't let me get older, fatter and grumpier. I just don't want to do it. But you know what? I think I know some people that the older they get, the grumpier they get. And the more they moan and bitch and the grumble, they think, oh, no, Lord, please don't let me be like that. I want to be somebody who gets, the older I get, the more like Jesus I become. That is what I want to do. And our words in church matter an awful lot. Do you know what? Tim Keller in his book Centre Church said this, that the most effective tool that we have in making people open to hear about Jesus is what? How we do church together. Mm. It's the most effective tool. Because if we are together, all these different people from all sorts of different backgrounds, every sort of like nationality, every background, every level of education, every matter of wealth, whatever, it doesn't matter. If we're all together and actually we can speak words of grace and kindness and purity and truth into others, that is the thing that will open up the kingdom more than anything. It's just, I love it. If we can get this right, my friends, we just don't know how much God is going to use us. It will be phenomenal. And now I'm going to just say, forgive me for what I'm about to say, okay? Clive, forgive me. But I just need to say this, that if I am happy to bitch and moan and grumble and criticize somebody behind their back, I just need to let you know this. I am doing the very work of Satan. I am. Because what I'm doing is I'm pushing other people away from knowing Jesus. And when people see me talking about other people like that behind their back or just criticizing them or having it all laying into them or saying that they don't mean it's me, actually what's happening is when other people look in, they'll say, oh, that's how they work. But no, these verses are saying something different. Oops, sorry, don't worry. Thanks. I've just dropped my watch, but I'll ignore the watch anyway.
As usual.
Yeah.
I won't talk about you.
Yeah. But you know, I believe it. I do believe it. That actually, when we get into that pattern of the way that we talk, people will look in and say, "Oh no, I don't want to be part of that." But sometimes, and we have a lady who, as we've just employed at Trinity. And she does our garden. She runs our community garden. She's not a Christian, but there's something about her that we really love her, you know. But what she often says is, she says, "I love you people. I love the way that you connect with one another. I love the way that you welcome people. I love the way that you talk about one another. I love the way that you have welcomed me," is what she's saying. And I'm believing that as she sees the way that we connect to one another, her life is going to be open to the gospel. And we're praying that in years to come, she will give her life, that she'll be baptized, because she will know something of the truth. The other side of it is this, that I don't know if you've read a book by a guy called Francis Chan. He's written this amazing book called Letters to the Church.
Amen.
It's just like, it's so, every chapter is about, is so like relentlessly positive and encouraging about church. However, he does talk about church discipline. And you're thinking, oh, I've never mentioned like church discipline, but I was so sort of like arrested by what Francis Chan said about church discipline that I even wrote it in the back of my study Bible because I thought I need to get this. And he says that actually we don't often have like church discipline, but he quoted Titus chapter 3, verse 10. And it says this, warn somebody who stirs up division twice. And if they're persistent in being divisive, have nothing more to do with them. Yeah, it's a little bit hard, if I'm honest. And Lord, forgive me that actually probably I haven't done that. I've you know, probably been divisive myself more than twice. And I've allowed other people to be divisive more than twice. But that's what Scripture is saying. And the reason that it's saying it is this, is that the way that we talk to one another, the way that we speak words of grace and kindness, is going to be this massive witness for God's testimony. And also to let you know, words really matter. Not only the words that are, you know, that we might want to have a go at, but actually words really matter. You know, we up at Trinity, we do all of these different projects that are going on, and actually we partner together in some of the stuff in the food bank and the debt centre, and we run a project for real vulnerable mums, and we do this garden we've started, and by the way, we're just going to do a spoon whittling workshop. I'm not even joking. I really love all of that stuff. But if you want to come and do a spoon whittling workshop with trees that we've cut down from there, you're really welcome to join us. But we love doing all of that stuff, okay? But like, I just need to let you know, we are not trying to convert people to doing good things. We're not doing all of those projects to say to people, come and join us in doing good. No. We're doing all of those things because Jesus Christ has changed us. And actually, what we're trying to do is to see what, to allow people to see what Jesus has done. And for people to see what Jesus has done, that requires what? Words. We have to explain the gospel. We have to live in a way that sort of like makes people open to seeing the gospel. But at some point, we have to use words. And you know, there's that that phrase that says, preach the gospel, and whenever you have to use words, it's helpful. But it's very misleading. It's really misleading. Because we're trying to convert people to see who Jesus is, what he has done. And unless you're very good at acting or miming, you can't really sort of like act out the gospel when you're talking to your friend, you know, having a cup of tea with them. You have to use words to explain it. So all I'm saying is that words really matter. So we did say we had the problem. And the problem is my tongue. How difficult I find it to train my tongue to speak in a way that honours other people. But then it has the problem, but it also says we have the solution from these verses. Just going to read the solution. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honourable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Do you know, sometimes if you, like me, struggle, you know, to speak in a way that is kind and builds other people up, you just think, well, God said, I will give you wisdom, don't worry. I will help you. And the Bible says, you know, the Bible is really hot on wisdom. There are about four or five books just dedicated to being wise. And God has said, no, I am the all-wise one. I'm the one who knows everything. I know every situation that you're in. I know everything. But if you want my wisdom, ask me and I will give you my wisdom. And I just need to let you know, God's wisdom is quite different from earthly wisdom. Sometimes I'd like wisdom to know how to win a few arguments, to sound really clever, to make a right decision, and to make a lot of money. Basically, I want to be wise to make myself look good or to get what I want. Biblical wisdom, my friends, is so, so different from that. The wisdom that it talks about here in James chapter 3 is this: it is meek. It is pure. It's peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial. And you know, the word meek is translated as gentle. And to be honest, I just think, oh, that's a bit naff, to be fair. If somebody said on my gravestone, here is Duncan, he was a meek man, I wouldn't be very happy. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be. But Jesus turned everything on his head. And he said this: blessed are the meek, the gentle, because they're going to inherit the earth. And sometimes we think, oh, if you're meek, it's all about being, I don't know, being, you're a bit of a coward, you're just being a bit passive. But the verses say here say, no, if you are meek, it's coming because you are trusting Jesus. You're trusting Jesus that he will win his case. Do you know something? The thing that I think about meekness was when, do you remember that time when Jesus was in front of Pontius Pilate? And Pontius Pilate said to him, here you go, Jesus, this is your chance. Because I've got your future in my hands. I can decide what happens to you right now. One word from me and it's all done. So come on, tell me. Explain yourself. Give me some of your wisdom. Tell me, explain what you've been doing. And what did Jesus do? In meekness, he said nothing. Was he weak? I don't think so. Was he being passive? I don't think so. But he trusted his father. And he knew his father had a plan for him. And he submitted it to it. And you know, you could summarize biblical wisdom. If you think, I want to be able to speak about other people in a helpful way, you think, God, come and give me wisdom. You can summarize these verses. And biblical wisdom is summarized as this. It's pure, it's loving, and it's good. I don't know what situations you may be in. I don't know what awkward people you need to deal with. I don't know if you've got awkward neighbour that plays music at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if you've got a work colleague that wants to make your life really difficult. I don't know if you've got a family member that whenever you're on a Zoom call, they just say something and it just gets underneath your skin in a way that only family members can. And you think, God, you don't know the situation that I'm facing. Well, I just need to let you know God does. And he's saying to you, come and ask me for wisdom. And I will show you how to be pure and loving and good. It doesn't mean to say that we can't tell the truth, you know, that actually to be very real and sometimes, you know, we have to say some things that are quite hard sometimes and we have to sort of like correct ourselves and we have to correct other people and we have to say, should you have said that? And all those sorts of things. But if you want to be wise, God says this, be pure and loving and good. So we've seen the problem is my tongue, what I say. And the solution is, God, come and ask me for wisdom. And now I want to say, just to close, is this. I want to read the last few verses. The problem, what we say, the solution is to become wise. And if you have anything about you, you'd be saying, yeah, that's great, Duncan. Yeah, right. But how? It's very good to say to become wise. It's very good to ask God for wisdom and to be pure and loving and good. But how do I do it? You can't just leave me like hanging there. You know, some people say, well, do this. And you think, yeah, but how? How do I do it? Just tell me how I can do it this afternoon. Well, I will, if I can find where my glasses are. Well, they are there in the real pocket. Just go to the first few verses of chapter 4. If you want to know how to be wise, it says this. I'm going to read from verse 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the spirit has placed within us, that the spirit that God has placed within us is filled with envy? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And guess what? He will lift you up in honor. And if you want to know how to change your life, how to be able to speak words of kindness and grace and have the wisdom to be pure and loving and good, what these passages are saying is this, like, feel the pain of what you have done. and come before God and just say, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Get on your face before the Lord and say, God, I'm so sorry when I've spoken words that have been unkind, or when I've moaned and grumbled about people, and instead I haven't seen what you are doing in somebody's life. Forgive me. I know it's been an awful thing. And God's promise is this, that when you do that, when you come close to God, what will he do? He'll come close to you. And when you humble yourself like that before the living God, what is he going to do? He's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up in honour. And do you know what? Just to think, one of the reasons that every time I come to the well, every time I see Clive's face, most of the time, yeah. My heart is filled with joy because I think God is doing something in you that is just extraordinary. And I love it. And I love it when I see all the different people that are coming in and linking in and all the, and I think even somehow how we are linking together, the well and the Trinity, two churches, and yet, and we are two separate churches. We're working really well together. You know, and we had an elders meeting up at Trinity just like last week, and it just felt wrong because that Clive wasn't in the room, and I thought, I need my friend here, Clive, to come and give his wisdom and his perspective and all the things that we're doing together. I think, oh, God has got something beautiful in our midst. But occasionally we just read verses like this, and you think, God, you're refining us. You're refining us in God's fire. So we say, Holy Spirit, come on us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I pray even today you would convict me. Before anybody else, you'd convict me of words that I've said that have not been pure and loving and good. And I pray, Lord, that every time I would be challenged to bring your wisdom, I'd say, is this pure? Is this loving? And is this good? And I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and fall on us right now? I want to ask your Spirit would come and shape us, that this church, that the well church would grow so phenomenally that there would be tens and hundreds of people being gathered in because of the way that we speak to one another and we speak words of purity and goodness and love. Father, we thank you. You are about an amazing work in our lives and we love you. Amen.
What a wonderful word, guys, and sometimes it does us good to be dug out. And as Duncan was speaking there, I was quite aware of the times that people have said words that have kind of hurt me, and I guess you know that as well. But I was also aware acutely of the times that I've said words that if people could hear that, it would hurt them, or that it has got back to them. And Jesus said somewhere in the Bible, what's been said in the dark will come into the light. So you've got to be careful. But I, for one, just want to lead us now in that, just a prayer of repentance, guys, because I want God to lift us up today. I don't want to wait for next year or till I think I've grown in God enough. No. When we do this, God will do it today. And so if you agree with me and recognize maybe times when particularly you've said stuff that wasn't wholesome, just follow me in prayer. I don't know what I'm going to say yet. And if you've been hurt as well, well, afterwards I'll go into little prayer, or maybe Duncan, if you can do that one.
Sure.
Yeah. So God, we stand in all this together, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As two churches work together going into that one, it's never easy, Lord, because there's always a bit of a difference in culture, but we are so similar. But Lord, there are times, Lord, when friendships, that we rub each other the wrong way sometimes. In our marriages, especially in lockdown, Lord, we say things and we think afterwards, why did I say that? You know, we've learned not to send emails, you know, I feel like this, so send an email. No, we've learned, don't do that. Wait for a couple of days. And Lord, we don't do it at home. We say the very things that we wish we hadn't, and we don't say the things that we should. But so, God, I just repent before you now of them words that have hurt other people, or if they could hear them, I know that they would hurt. So, Lord, I repent now and say, I'm sorry, God. And lay my mouth before your throne, before the cross, and ask for that forgiveness, Lord, that you would help me not to do that, to always see the best and wait for what you're doing in other people rather than complain about the work that's in progress before me eyes. And so, Lord, wash us by your blood, by your Spirit. Blow on us, Lord. Just sense the wind of the Spirit. Yeah. For those who didn't go through that, well, you can do it afterwards. For those who did go through that, God is going to blow upon you now. He's going to cleanse you now. He's doing it right now. Can sense the presence of God powerfully here. Oh, God. He's going to just give you your mind back. Some of you have lost your mind. You've been wrapped up in thoughts about a person or a situation or something, and God's going to give you your mind back so you don't have to keep playing that film, that video over and over again. Oh, Lord, cleanse us, God. Send the Spirit, Lord. Send the Spirit, Lord.
Yeah. I just feel that as Clive was praying, I felt, you know, God showed me a picture of that he is painting the most extraordinary picture of the world church. And the Lord is painting something that is absolutely stunning, that is beautiful. And actually, you know, I feel, you know, it's going to be a painting that there will be people that will come and travel to look at.
Come on.
They will come and travel to look at and just to gaze on it and just to see all the different intricacies of it. And I feel that one of the key parts of that painting is that there is this beam of sunlight breaking through dark clouds.
Oh, God.
And I felt God say to me that beam of sunlight, that the hole in the clouds is created every time somebody humbles themselves before the Lord and confesses their sin. And when you're doing it, when you're in that place of like humbling yourself and confessing your sin, you just think, oh, I just feel more beaten up than before, and you know, and all this. But I think no, God is saying, no, as you do that, that the verses you have to hold on to here is this, that it says, as you humble yourself, I will lift you up. I will honor you. And I will clothe you in glory. And that is the upside down nature of the gospel, that sometimes we humble ourselves and we then think, oh, we're humble and we'll stay there. But God says, no, I am lifting you up. And I am painting an extraordinary picture in the world church. And it's full of beauty and full of light and full of glory. And it's going to be big. It's a big painting, and people will come and look at it and see it. But it's rooted not in organization and structure, but it's rooted in the humility of a people coming before God and saying, God, I'm sorry. And knowing the truth that as we humble ourselves and as we draw close to God, as we give ourselves to worship, you know, and earlier I saw some people worshiping and sitting in their rooms, and they were just going for it and loving and worshiping him and lifting up Jesus. And you think, yes, as we do that, that's just another hole in the cloud for God's sunlight to come pouring in.
Come on.
And we say, do it, Lord. Build something extraordinary in our midst, we pray. Do it for your glory again and again and again, we ask, Lord. Amen.